Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Breathe, Cleveland. Breathe. You know, it's funny. There was a moment in the third quarter. And I at this point, because I declined to write it down, which is like one of four things I didn't write down I wanted to talk about yesterday. I got the other 96 things I want to talk about. But when I was writing things down, there was a moment where I was like, well, Jacksonville is cooked. And then from that moment on, all Jacksonville did was make me sweat. And I'm not talking about the meat sweats. I'm not talking about a man with, let's just say, blood pressure problems who probably should cut back on the sodium sweats. No, I'm talking like the please, please, please do not steal this game from the Cleveland Browns. Now, fortunately, the Jacksonville Jaguars are an unserious football team. But man, did they make us sweat. And obviously today we got 5 hours to talk about the game. We also will get into the Guardians taking the last two games against the Rays. Probably not going to get into the Isaac Okoro news, but you should know he's back. They got that going for us. So, but no, it's so funny because when it comes to games like that, I always, in September, guys, we make way too much out of what it looks like, right? And honestly, in the NFL in general, we care way too much about style points. Yes, contextually, those things do matter. And being able to proper put those things into context totally matters. All right, well, you played poorly against a bad team, and now what does that mean? In September, can we just all agree? Just take the damn win. Like, I get it. There's a lot to clean up from that game. But if you're playing your best football on September 15th, you probably cooked anyways. Like Vegas. Vegas beat Baltimore last night, or yesterday, on, well, okay, it wasn't really truly a last-second field goal because Lamar had the ball with like 30 seconds to do something, and basically he did something stupid. But like, that's the best game Vegas is going to play all year. They're not a good team. Gardner Minshew, once you start playing against better quarterbacks, is going to get outclassed time and time again. Who cares? You beat the Raiders. Or sorry, who cares? You're the Raiders. You beat the Ravens. So most times when you get a win in September, all I really care about is did you win the damn game? I will say, yesterday, pushed that logic. Whether it was the offense disappearing in the second half, the wide receivers with multiple key drops, whether it was individual decision-making by Deshaun, by Kevin Stefanski, whether it was... honestly, needing the defense to save your ass. And can we just say this? Because I get, we're going to talk a lot about Deshaun today. Well done on the defense. Well done on the defense for the first half that made Jacksonville look completely, I don't know, ridiculous. Like, they completely neutralized anything that Jacksonville tried to do. Make a good play, we're going to take two better plays back from you. But then late, after Trevor Lawrence started cooking... Because, you know, it's tough to shut down a good NFL quarterback for four quarters to get the safety near the end of that game, which didn't exactly ice the game like we hoped it did, but certainly it really did put Jacksonville in their place and took all the momentum out. Because that's the thing that we've talked about a lot with the defense. When the vibes are up, when the aura points are up, in the words of my teenage daughter, when the aura points are up, guys, it's easy to be the number one defense in the NFL. In that third and fourth quarter, a lot was going wrong from them, right? It was the lucky big play at the right possible time for Jacksonville. In those scenarios, that defense could have bleeped the bed. And in those scenarios, that defense has bleeped the bed. And that's not what they did yesterday. When it mattered absolutely the most, the defense secured the win for you. And maybe the thing that should make you feel the best is, that's the way I thought it was going to look in September. The defense is Herculean, and the offense is a work in progress. And if you, honestly, if you flip that game, I don't know you feel any better about it. If Jacksonville dominates you in the first half and then you dominate Jacksonville in the second half, even though in both scenarios you're still getting the dub, I kind of feel like this is the beauty is in the eye of the beholder game, right? If you thought that the Browns are totally cooked, there's a good chance you still think that after that game. And if you thought that that Dallas game was circumstantially a circumstantial ass-whooping, like fate led you to that booty kicking, well, you probably still feel pretty okay about the Cleveland Browns. But there are things that that game was, and there are things that game wasn't. That game was not pretty. 2-4 on third down, 13 penalties, 100 yards. MJ Emerson dropped the interception in the second quarter. Winston Reed delivered the hit of the game on the special teams player, Tank Bigsby, which then, of course, led to a huge turnover, which was negated because Dustin Hopkins crossed the 50-yard line. And it was probably the first time I've had cause to drop an expletive into his name. It was Dustin Bleepin' Hopkins for about 30 seconds there. But that it wasn't pretty. You know what it was, though? Necessary. Like, I get that on days like today, this week, that the whole thing is when you have 25 hours a week, or the Monin Boys have 20 hours a week, and Baskin Phelps 20 hours a week, minus 5 hours for press conferences. Like, and JP at night, five, you know, 3, 4, 5 hours a night on any given night. It's easy, and we probably will, go over this win with a fine-tooth comb. Guys, that team, that quarterback, that head coach, that locker room needed the win, right? It doesn't answer every question that we had for them. It's not the greatest game I've ever seen played. Yep, they tried their darndest at certain points to let that game go away. And yet at the same point, they got the win. So it doesn't stop the pressure. It doesn't prove the existence of Bigfoot, all right, or the fact that you are a Super Bowl caliber team. Not every game can be that. And this team, given the enormity of the reaction to game one and the latest news on Deshaun Watson, it was necessary what they did yesterday, which is they got a team win. The defense carried them for four quarters. The offense gave you one half of really good football. Deshaun gave you a step in the right direction. That is what we call a necessary win. Another thing this game wasn't. It wasn't the best game of Deshaun Watson's life. It wasn't the game that's going to make you say, aha, he is that guy. And finally, guys, that's not going to happen overnight either. You just needed a step in the right direction or multiple steps in the right direction for Deshaun Watson. And that's what that was. Because while that wasn't the best game he's ever played, it can also be an encouraging step from Deshaun on multiple different levels. That game also didn't answer every question about the Cleveland Browns. But I think we're so close to it here. And I think the thing that we sometimes miss when it comes to football, every single football season, unless you have Pat Mahomes, feels like two steps forward, two steps back. And I think I think the frustration here is we haven't reached a point where you can say Super Bowl, Super Browns every Sunday, and we don't have to live in our fears, and we can just go, they're going to win no matter what. Guys, that's most team in the NFL. Cincinnati has been to a Super Bowl in the last 4 years. They are going through it right now, with Ja'Marr Chase being the biggest baby in the world, and Joe Burrow looking at points superhuman, and then at other points very, very human. I don't think anybody, big picture, most NFL fan bases don't realize this is how it's supposed to be. It's hard to win in the NFL. So while that didn't answer every question about the Browns, it did answer maybe the most important question we had that popped up after week one, which is how will the Browns respond to getting embarrassed on national television and getting housed in their own house? Yeah, okay. Well, the big spin zone. Well, the defense didn't play that bad. They gave up 30-plus points and gave up, yes, tons. So if your bar is the defense didn't play as bad as the offense week one, well, you won nothing because they still didn't play well enough to win. So the defense bounced back in a phenomenal performance this last, not blame-free, not perfect, but a damn good performance, and the offense did as well. They responded the way you would hope a team can respond. I'm not taking that for granted, guys, because Friday, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know. I don't remember doing a prediction on Friday. I sent one out, I think it was 20-17 Browns on Sunday right before kick, but it took me the entirety of the weekend to think that that was going to go the way of the Browns. Here's another thing that this win wasn't. Kevin's best coaching job. And there are two things we're going to call out in this hour about Kevin Stefanski decision-making that continues. Again, I know that we view every one of these decisions in a vacuum. Okay, I know that it is tough to win in the NFL, and it is tough to be a good head coach in the NFL. All that being said, guys, there were a couple things that the pick and choose on when to be aggressive. Yeah, so it wasn't Kevin's best game. The 3rd and 6 call, to absolve him of that, both things can be true. Deshaun made a boneheaded play, and it was a boneheaded call. Here's the other thing. It also wasn't Kevin's worst coaching job. That was a weekend ago. Kevin's job, play calling, setting things up, getting his team ready against Dallas, was so below par. I don't remember ever feeling that way about a game, coming out of that game, about our head coach. And much like the team, the head coach answered the call. I promise you, it's not because it's a Victory Monday. You got to give credit where credit's due. That's a good bounce-back win for the Cleveland Browns, even if it doesn't answer every single concern you had. There are things to pick apart from this game. Totally get it. I hate that the 3rd and 6 play, which was a rollout play to Deshaun's non-passing side, I hate that that's really the last play you think of when you think of the offensive performance, because it was the most negative thing you can react to. I wish that would have been like the first play from scrimmage and then everything else had happened. I think where we are with Deshaun requires a lot of perspective. And you can have the global remaining thought process about the bar that he has to aspire to at some point, and also accept yesterday for what it was. I'd also like to point out, if you guys have not heard the 2020s or any of the news here, the Panthers just benched former number one overall pick Bryce Young. If you remember, every time we've talked about the Deshaun trade and how everybody fears the Deshaun trade's become the worst trade in NFL history, we kindly point them to the Carolina trade for Bryce Young. It is wild. This happened last year with Russ in Denver with Sean Payton, and now it's happening with Dave Canales in Carolina. It is wild how many NFL owners, once you get into the season, you've hired a coach to fix a player, quote-unquote, specifically a quarterback. Right, that's everything about the Carolina job was, we didn't hire Mike Vrabel because we got to get somebody to fix Bryce Young. Two games in, they abandoned that. Sean Payton last year, what was it, 9 games in before he started to threaten to bench Russell Wilson because they wanted him to take a pay cut? If a NFL coach in the interview process promises to fix a quarterback, you should just give them $15 million up front and basically fire them on the spot. Because it continues to prove that coaches say words like fix quarterback, make the best of the situation, and then at the earliest possible convenience, they bail on that quarterback. This is not, by the way, Bryce Young has been putrid, and Carolina has gotten the ever-loving crap kicked out of them. But the entirety of the handling of Bryce Young proves that even if you take a kid with next-level ability, number one pick, coming out of the ultimate winning program, that dumb organizations ruin quarterbacks more than dumb quarterbacks ruin organizations. But I digress as we continue to have the conversation. When it just comes to credit, real quick here, the defense and special teams deserves the lion's share of credit. Dustin Hopkins might have had the oopsie going across the 50-yard line, which called back the big turnover, but there were several big hits on special teams last night. Obviously, Hopkins and Bohorquez gave you a chance to win between punting and some of the field goals that were made. And then defensively, that is to see the defense, when all the chips were down, to see them play that way, when there is, let's say, negative momentum going against you on the road with a quarterback who looks like he's hot. One, for Bohorquez to pin them back. Also, it tells you who Kevin Stefanski trusts, because Kevin Stefanski decided to punt after the myriad of dumbass penalties by the Browns offense near the end of the game there. But it also speaks to why Kevin trusts that defense so much. Why you don't get dumb and desperate in that moment, even if we kind of look at that third and six call as maybe a little bit of dumb and desperate. So I do want to give those two parts of the ball their flowers, because that's where it starts. Can we also say, though, if you're not giving the offense a fair amount of credit yesterday, I think you're unfairly weighting the second half. I think, because again, it's apparent that the second half did not look anywhere near as good as the first half. I think some of that was the decision-making by the coaching staff. It felt like we went ultra-conservative. Once you got out of that first drive, second drive of the second half, because it felt like the drops kind of doomed you, and then it became, let's just play keep away and see if we can keep, not necessarily stepping on their throat, but certainly let's just try and make sure to get out of here with a victory instead of giving it away. So I think the drops doomed you offensively. But we can have the big picture perspective that Deshaun still has not played like the Deshaun you traded for, and also look at yesterday as a win. It was, because it wasn't just, like we were talking last week, like, okay, what's the one step in the right direction? And we all agreed it was timing. Well, timing-wise, Deshaun got the ball out quicker. He looked more comfortable. And honestly, in a play that I think it was Jason McCourty on the call said, you shouldn't have tried to make that throw. The most promising play of the game was the almost interception to Jerry Jeudy on the sidelines. Because that's a throw that Deshaun 5 years ago doesn't hesitate to make. And in that environment, in that context, without a lot of things to take pressure off you yet, he still attempted that throw, got bailed out by Jerry Jeudy. But like between that or the David Bell where he's moving around on the run, and he did the splits in midair. He did the David Lee Roth as he was thrown to the sidelines, and he got the conversion. Guys, that is what it looks like. When Deshaun is in full confidence or somewhere close to it of his abilities, those extending the pocket, moving around, even though we saw the downside of it with a third and six play, we saw the upside of it so much more. So the timing and the playmaking is what you wanted. And I also think outside of like a play, which was a third and six play, I think the decision-making was there too. I think he took a lot of the easier throws that were there, which last year was a problem consistently, or 2 years ago, was the biggest problem with Deshaun, was trying to make every play a home run play. He looked comfortable doing things within the offense yesterday and taking throws that were there. Like, I don't think yesterday was just a step ahead. I think it was several steps ahead. I think if we're going to hammer this guy for how poorly he looked against Dallas, maybe his worst game is a Cleveland Brown, which says something because we all remember those last six games of 2 years ago. If we're going to do that, then we have to understand how low the bar was set off that Dallas game. That Jacksonville game, I don't think, is in the top 25, 35, 40% of Deshaun games. It's still night and day, way far ahead of where he was in the Dallas game, and you can sell yourself on the idea of hope. And when I say you, I'm not just talking about the fans. I'm talking about, like, Deshaun can say, man, that felt good. If Deshaun had that game, in the midst of the 2020 season, he probably says, man, I wonder what was going on out there. But the struggles were so severe in the Dallas game, on top of the latest lawsuit, all this nonsense. Deshaun can sell that as that's multiple steps in the right direction. So can the locker room. Today we're not talking about, do the players like Deshaun? right? Do the players trust Deshaun? Are they frustrated by Deshaun? That is the power of a win. That's the power of a game that is significantly better than the game before. Now, you got to see the next step against the Giants, and certainly you've got to continue to see steps over time, but I think we keep looking for, wow, this is the game. We keep doing these artificial deadlines for Deshaun that involve individual games this year. Man, if Deshaun looks good this weekend, I can finally... Guys, that's not... Yesterday is actually what I expected them to look like to start the season for the first couple weeks, which is you're going to see glimpses of things, you're going to see the possibilities, but you're not going to see a lot of consistency. So from being completely off track and in the absolute dumper one Monday ago, I will take that as a significant step forward for Deshaun Watson, with a caveat that now we still have to see more steps forward. You can say, well, Deshaun still isn't where we need him to be, while understanding if he takes another jump from Jacksonville to New York, like he did from Dallas to Jacksonville, we'll be a hell of a lot closer there. 216-474-0092. So it's not to say that Deshaun and the offense deserve as much credit as the defense, who was fantastic. But once you get into Deshaun and how much credit he deserves, yeah, I get it. He looked good in reverse. We like to see our quarterback look good in the second half, and then if they have to look bad, it's a first half thing. Don't care. The point is Deshaun put you in a position to win and didn't lose you the game yesterday.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Long term, not good enough. For yesterday, it's more than good enough. 216-474-0092. Where does the credit go for yesterday's win? And you agree that it wasn't just a step in the right direction, but several steps in the right direction. Let's go with Scott. Scott, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, hello, Hal. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Happy Monday, bud.
Happy Monday to you. You know what? The credit goes to the defense, and the credit goes to Deshaun Watson. I agree with everything that you're saying with him. You don't expect him to come out and light the league on fire right off the rip. Significantly better rhythm, had some rhythm, played well, didn't make the mistakes. You saw glimpses of the old Deshaun doing Deshaun, splitting in the air, making plays happen. You know what no one's talking about?
What's up?
The Ravens and Bengals are 0-2. We have a two-game lead that you have to go in and take care of business against the Giants and wait for your hardest part of the schedule. Build off this win. Very hard to get a win in the National Football League, especially on the road. The Browns of old would have went in and laid an egg. They would have went in and been 0-2 and found a way to lose it. But Stefanski is not his greatest coaching game, but he's getting his feet wet just like every coach around the league. And if you look around the league and you compare it into some other games that you watch, we're not that far off, boys and girls. Everyone needs to step back. Sky's not falling. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And I thought, as a team, they did okay. It's not their best, but they got the win and they get to come back home looking up behind them with the Bengals and the Ravens, two games behind them. That is great. That's great to look forward to. That's a lot of, it's just a lot of goodness, especially coming off of a home opener against Dallas like so.
Scott, we appreciate you, buddy. Happy Victory Monday to you. 216-474-0092. Where are you giving credit today on this Victory Monday? I look at this game and Deshaun's performance as if you are starting to run on fumes. If you look down, you see your car's on empty, and like there's a small gas station, or maybe you have a small gas tank with just enough gas to get you where you're going, right? To that next 30 miles out is the next truck stop. That's what that performance was. Does it get me to Philadelphia? No. You know what it gets me to? The Giants. I will take that. Nathan was right to say that Deshaun cannot do what Deshaun did in that moment. And I hate that that was like the last play we saw from Deshaun before they decided to go ahead and punt the ball and then, you know, everything happened from there. I do hate that that was the last play because it was not even close. It's his worst play of the ball game. And it was his one callback to 2 weeks ago, or to the previous Sunday, where he had like 18 of those kind of plays. I hate that that's the last one because I do think we're all victims of recency bias. The thing that we saw tends to be the thing that we allowed to define our view on something. The last thing we saw, that is. So Deshaun made what can only be described as a gigantic knuckleheaded decision in that moment. At the same time, why are we rolling Deshaun out to his non-throwing shoulder side? Like, right? Like, if Deshaun is already having trouble throwing when he's not throwing across his body, why are we then putting him in that position on 3rd and 6 with a chance to ice the game? I guess that'd be a question. So, because I've heard people defend the call of a rollout. Well, everybody runs these plays. Yeah, but time, down, distance, context matters. So I don't know why you rolled him out to his non-throwing side, because that meant whatever he did was going to have to be throwing against his body. I understand the idea that Deshaun shouldn't have to be told, hey, the worst thing you can do here is get an incompletion because it's going to give them probably 40 seconds, 50 seconds more time. At the same point, why is that the aggressive call? Like, it's wild. Like, I threw out a tweet at halftime right after they decided to kick the field goal rather than go for it on 4th and 3. And sometimes with Kevin, I do think like he picks like weird, mystifying ways and when to be aggressive and when to be conservative. And I thought, given the fact that you had the ball coming back after halftime, and there was no chance, even if you had went for 4th and 3, you didn't convert it. Jacksonville had no momentum on offense. There was such little time left that there was no way in hell they were actually going to be able to put any points on there. I thought that 4th and 3 call at the end of the first half was the perfect opportunity to try and press your foot down on their neck and see if you could finish off Jacksonville. So that, to me, felt like a small, in the pantheon of the big battle for the game, I thought that was a small missed opportunity. I kind of felt like the rollout decision, as bad of a decision it was from Deshaun, I don't think it absolves Kevin of on 3rd and 6, where you know that you're already 2 of 14 on 3rd down. So while you'd love to get the conversion there, and while it makes sense to be aggressive in that setting, I don't know that's the play to be aggressive with. That basically is a runner pass situation when running should be the only thing you want to do there. So you're not going to go with a design run for Deshaun. That's obvious. I'd rather you get stuffed at the line on 3rd and 6 for Deontay Foreman or Jerome Ford. And here's the other thing that we haven't talked about with that. You already did a little oopsie daisy on the outside on a 4th down play, 3rd or 4th down play from Jerome Ford in the first half, where they were expecting a run up the middle and Jerome went off the outside for like 20 yards. So they already kind of were looking for that. They've seen that you were going to do a little okie doke there previously. I don't think you fooled anyone. And in that moment, why are you trying to fool anyone? Your defense has kicked the holy crap out of Jacksonville for most of that game. They were coming off the safety the previous drive. Just try and run the ball. I think that's an instance where, like, again, in the first half, Kevin was a little too conservative in a moment that I think maybe takes the pressure off you if you put another 7 on the board, or at least get that 4th and 3 inside a minute to go. And then with a game on the line, instead of just taking the simple, you know what, let's give them 35 seconds. Their offense got stymied the last drive. Let's trust the defense. You try and win the game and ice it all at once. That doesn't mean Deshaun's decision was any less dumb. I'm really not saying that. It was the worst decision Deshaun made all game. It was also a confounding decision by Kevin, who I thought choked up a little bit in the second half and was more conservative at almost every other facet of calls. 216-474-0092. None of this is to hammer Kevin Stefanski, but I feel like Deshaun's taking the brunt of criticism for that play when I got to say, you got to know, you've still got a quarterback. You've got a work in progress with his confidence. That specific play, there was always going to be the opportunity if somebody was coming off that left side to put Deshaun in a make-or-break situation that might press him to do something foolish, like try and throw the ball instead of just lay down and take the sack. 216-474-0092. But we are giving out credit today. But like I said, not Kevin's worst game, not Kevin's best game. Let's go with Jeremy. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, I just want to say I appreciate everything you're doing, and I agree with your take on almost all of this stuff. But as I'm a near 50-year-old lifelong Browns fan, and for me, I was looking for a heart and I was looking for a win in both those orders. I spent the whole week hating on Deshaun like nobody's business, and I'm also just a huge "I wish Flacco was still here" kind of guy. However, I can tell you that when that first drive, watching him punch it into the end zone, for the first time it felt like I saw heart with this guy. And desire to show the fans something. I just felt like that drive was for the fans. And so between that and getting the win, I'm at zero. Let's see what happens next week. I'm good. Like, I'm good right this second. And on top of your analysis that I also agree with as well. But I saw a heart and I saw a win. And that's good for me right now.
Jeremy, appreciate it. I really like that. I think that's where most of us are, right? Like, yes. We would have loved to got a 30-0 win. You'll take that. It felt like that's where you were on pace for. There are a few reasons why it didn't. I don't think Deshaun is even in the top three reasons why that game got close again. I think the drops were a big issue. I think Trevor Lawrence finally got enough time on the field to start seeing the field and make some plays quickly. So good adjustments there. And also, I think it tightened up a little bit. Until the 3rd and 6 play. Let's go with Thomas. Welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, Nick. How you doing today?
Doing well, buddy. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, nice hearing from you, too. I just want to say that game actually got me really hyped because I thought the Jaguars, I mean, looking ahead, but like not looking too far ahead, you know, our next couple of opponents are fairly easy. So this is a great chance to you know, build some confidence. I thought that game was a very gritty, gutty win at the beginning of the season. You know, the first 4 weeks of football in the NFL is always sloppy. And, you know, you really just want to come out of the first 4 weeks with a good record. And the Browns have a really good chance of doing that. I thought Jerry Jeudy looked good yesterday. I thought Deshaun Watson played his heart out yesterday. I think if it wasn't for a couple of flags here and there, we would have won by more. But, I just think it was a good win. It was a very solid win early in the season. I have nothing to complain about. Let's just get better.
Thomas, appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, God, 13 flags. And not just that. Those last three flags that took you from what was it, 1st and 10 to 3rd and unmentionable. Guys, I'll be honest, if they had lost that game, I wasn't coming in here to gripe about Deshaun. I probably wasn't even going to gripe about the defense. It was going to be, you are a professional football organization. Please act like it and stop doing dumb stuff like that.